Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, welcome to Late Night here on News Talk 830 WCCO. It's been a fabulous run for the Minnesota Timberwolves Summer League team, but tonight it was the NBA Summer League final, and the Wolves did lose tonight, 95-92, but it was a nice ride. And you know what? With the nice ride that we had, we said forget about it. Forget about what we're doing on a regular. We are going to take this game live tonight. That's what we did here on News Talk 830 WCCO. And joining us to kick off the show is Jordan Murphy, Minnesota Golden Gopher alum, as well as a member of that NBA Summer League team. He joins us right now. Hey, Jordan, man, it was a great ride for the last week, and congratulations on getting to the championship game.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah, I saw you out there last weekend, and I left Vegas on Wednesday to come back to the Twin Cities. But talk a little bit about the experience that you had out there in Las Vegas, kind of, you know, just getting to know some NBA personnel and showing what you got.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a good journey so far. Just being able to get to know the coaching staff, the organization, and some of the players and some of the current players they even have. It's just been a good journey for me, and just seeing where I'm at and just being able to prove that I belong.
How much different was it for you just kind of playing amongst those guys that are at a higher level as opposed to some of the other college players that you played against the last couple of years? I know that you're playing against other college guys that are trying to get, you know, on a roster in an NBA, on an NBA team too, but there were some veteran guys that you battled against too over the course of the last week.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's interesting to see their movements and the type of things they do and how methodical they are with the game, and just seeing what they can do with their time spent out there and doing what they can with their minutes. And so just paying attention to that and making that part of my game as well, just doing what I can with my minutes and making the most of my time out there has been a really helpful thing for me.
You know, it was fun watching you tonight because you were one of the catalysts for getting this team back in the ball game there. At halftime, you guys were down by 16. You only lose by 3. Talk about, you know, you guys making that run in the third quarter and then trying to finish strong down the stretch there in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, we just realized at halftime that it was about getting stops and rebounding the ball better than we could and guarding their pick and roll. Since it was a really dynamic pick and roll, they had really good guards on the Grizzlies team. So we just came in at halftime just calming ourselves down and knowing what we had to do, and we executed well, and we did better.
Yeah, no question about it. We're talking to Jordan Murphy here on Late Night on News Talk 830 WCCO. Just finished off NBA Summer League out there in Las Vegas. You're the king of the double-double. Tonight you fell a little bit short, Jordan. I know that we sat there. I know that we sat there like a couple of months ago at the Final Four at Fox 9, and we did the television show. And that's one of the things that everybody here in the Twin Cities know that you're good for is a double double. But you had a good game tonight, 14 points and 8 rebounds.
Yeah, it was something that I really had to hone in on. Obviously, rebounding here is a little bit different than college, so I have to just really get used to it. But at the end of the day, I just did what I had to do and just did what I could for my team.
You know, one of the guys that I was impressed with on that coaching staff is Pablo Prigioni. Talk a little bit about him, just because it seemed to me when I watched him the 4 days that I was out in Las Vegas last weekend, he's a really good guy in terms of being able to relate to you guys there on that bench, being a guy that played point guard in the NBA.
Yeah, I mean, he's just one of those guys that's very smart, very methodical about the way he puts his players out there, puts us in spots to succeed. And at the end of the day, that's what we did, and we went 6-1. So, I mean, what he was doing was working. I mean, he's a really smart guy, really good coach.
Yeah, no question about it, man. All right, last thing for you, and then we'll let you go. And we appreciate the time tonight. What's next for you? I mean, you gotta keep striving and get on an NBA roster. You're gonna have some other workouts going on. What does it look like for Jordan Murphy here over the course of the next couple of months?
I'm not really sure, to be honest. Just gonna try to get on a roster. Whatever happens during this next week probably will tell me the most about my future. So just keep my fingers crossed and hoping a lot of teams saw my last game and my journey here in Summer League, and just hoping that they're impressed.
No question about it, man. Well, we appreciate the time tonight. Best of luck to you, and we'll see you back here in the Twin Cities soon.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
All right. Take care. That's Jordan Murphy joining us here on Late Night on News Talk 830 WCCO. Just kind of catching up with one of the players that played tonight, and Jordan had a good game. We're going to talk to Ryan Saunders, head coach of the Minnesota Timberwolves, here in hopefully in a couple of moments. But this was a fun thing to just kind of see play out, because before this morning, we did not know that there was going to be a championship game for the Minnesota Timberwolves in Summer League. Okay? So when you get to being undefeated in Summer League, and when you get to the day of having a championship game, then what happens? You say, you know what? People are paying attention. People are having fun. And we're just going to go ahead and air this bad boy, right? That's what we roll with tonight. And so 1 hour less of me and a little bit more time to listen to Timberwolves action here on News Talk 830 WCCO. So it was a lot of fun. And I know for half of the game, and when I mean half, I'm talking about the first half, it looked like Memphis was just going to run away and hide. But in that second half, it was really fun to see the Wolves battle back and play good basketball and make a game of it down the stretch. And realistically, it came down to a shot that they took with 3 seconds left. Ball goes out of bounds, 0.7 or 0.8 left on the clock. They tried to inbounds it, could not get a shot off, and essentially lost the game by 3 points. But a nice week to see guys on the roster in terms of the Summer League roster show what they had. And I've said this for months, and I will reiterate it now. One of the things that I want to see happen with this team is this team and the organization be in a position to where, forget about just a lottery pick. Forget about just a first-round pick or signing free agents. It is also incumbent upon this organization to bring in players where they see something in the players that maybe no one else in the league sees in them, and maybe the player doesn't even know what they have in terms of, from a talent perspective, reside in them as well. And bring that out of the player. Develop the player. To me, player development is going to be key for this Minnesota Timberwolves organization. One of the names that I mentioned right after the draft, when you started seeing this team and this team and that team picking up players and putting them on their summer league rosters, there was a couple of players specifically that I mentioned that I was happy to see them on our summer league roster because I wanted to see what they were going to do. One of them was Naz Reid, who had a really good summer league. And a lot of people were talking about him earlier today, and I had tweeted about him last night. And Barry Brown Jr. had a nice night tonight. Didn't get a whole lot of run for the most part over the course of the week in Las Vegas, but he showed what he could do tonight in just 21 minutes. He scored 12 points, had 3 rebounds. I thought he played well as kind of that combo guard. But the point is, those are two players that go undrafted that showed you something tonight. I know it's not a real NBA game. It's just a summer league game. But those are the type of players that you have to develop. You have to. Because when you're a Timberwolves fan like I am, you're not getting Kevin Durant to come to Minnesota. You're not going to get Kyrie to come to Minnesota. Heck, we had difficulty trying to get D'Angelo Russell to Minnesota. So my point is that you have to have those hidden gems. Those guys that you look at, you point to, and you say, you know what? We think that this guy can be something that can help out our squad, and we'll continue to be able to build on something special if this guy develops into something that nobody else saw. That is how you take the next steps to being not just a playoff team, but being a contending team. The Wolves have been to the playoffs. The Wolves have never won a championship. And at some point in time, and I know that right now fans are saying, or anybody listening to Late Night saying, Lake, we just want to get back to the postseason right now. Yeah, I'm with you. I want to get back to the postseason. But I actually do want to see this team win a championship before I die. And I know tomorrow's not promised to any one of us. Knock on wood. I hope I'm here tomorrow. But the bottom line is it starts right now with developing that culture of winning and the atmosphere that we are going to improve over time. It's not going to happen overnight, but we got to get some guys into the fold. We got to get some guys into the mix that are going to help Karl-Anthony Towns and that'll help the rest of the players that we'll have on this team for years to come to get where we want to go. And that's back to being in a winning situation here with Timberwolves basketball. All right, we'll take our first break, come back. Hopefully we're going to talk to Ryan Saunders here in this next segment. But Lake Night just starting now here on News Talk 830 WCCO. All right, welcome back to Lake Night here on News Talk 830 WCCO. Thanks again to Jordan Murphy for joining us to talk about his experience out there in Sin City. I should have asked him some more Vegas questions. But I'm going to be honest with you. I had a lot more fun in Vegas than Jordan Murphy did. I'm just going to tell you right now, because I know where those guys were staying, and, mm-hmm. and their hotel was right across from my hotel, and they didn't, you know, they didn't have a whole lot of time to a whole lot of downtime to do much of anything. But the bottom line is, Minnesota Timberwolves, they had a good summer league session. It was pretty awesome. For them, they went to the championship game, and tonight they played Memphis. 95-92, that was the final score. And so it was a nice little bit over a week hanging out in Sin City for the guys out there. And hopefully we'll see at least a couple of these guys be trying out for the squad here when it comes to training camp. And I think that we will see that. I'm not certain that any one particular guy is going to be on the roster at the end of it. But realistically, I really do believe that at least two or three of these guys will be trying out for this T-Wolves squad in the training camp that leads up to the regular season. And one of the guys that now, and I'll ask Coach Ryan Saunders when he joins us here, hopefully in the next couple of minutes, is about Naz Reid. Naz Reid is a guy that he didn't have a good game tonight. I thought that tonight was one of his was one of the games in which he just seemed out of sorts. A lot of praise the last couple of days from a lot of people on ESPN and myself in regards to my Twitter account and me enjoying watching him play out in Las Vegas. But he's a project. He's a guy that I look at and I'm like, man, if this guy develops into being, you know, the player that many people anticipate he can be, this guy was a five-star recruit going to LSU. And realistically, best case scenario is a guy like that goes back to college. And not everybody is a one and done. But you know what? He bolted after a year, and it's going to take some time for him to really figure it out. But can you imagine him as a basketball player? Let's say that we're talking 5 years from now, 4 or 5 years from now, at the age of 24, okay? Him being leaner, adding more muscle to his frame, working on his post moves at 6'10". He's got a lot of potential. That kid's got a lot of raw talent. I mean, he's got the build. He's got the quote, NBA body, right? He's got that. Now we just got to refine and work on all the other aspects of his game. And when I talked to assistant coach Pablo Prigioni, the thing that we talked about and the one thing he said to me, and he described it, and I thought it was perfect. He said that he's a project. And I absolutely am signing up for a project like that. A project where all you have to do is cultivate, develop the talent that young man has, okay? If you see the spark in him and you're able to just continue to develop him over the course of the next couple of years, then you found a player. You found a gem, and that's all you can ask for. So I'm really looking forward to watching him develop with the Minnesota Timberwolves organization, because that's a kid, I'm not throwing him back. If I'm the Wolves, I'm not throwing him back. So Gerson, I'm not throwing him back. Ryan, who we'll talk to here in a couple minutes, I'm not throwing him back. That's a kid you want in the pipeline that you feel like you're going to develop here over the next couple of years. So I look forward to talking to Coach here in just a second here on Lake Night on News Talk 830 WCCO. And I think we're going to talk to him here in just less than about 30 seconds about everything that's been going on out there in NBA Summer League out in Las Vegas. So we'll talk to him, and then after that we'll talk Minnesota Twins baseball here in a little bit. It was a fun weekend for your Minnesota Twins. They take 2 out of 3 from the Cleveland Indians, and I don't want to say I predicted it, but I loved it. And I said it going into the weekend. There's no other team I wanted to see in Major League Baseball than the Cleveland Indians. That's the team that I wanted to see. When you talk about coming out of the break being fresh, You getting the rest, getting the recovery, and Cleveland's all feeling good about themselves. They had won six consecutive games going into the break, and it seemed like the Twins were the team that kind of limped into the break, and they needed the rest. But what ended up happening? You took two out of three in Cleveland, and you almost swept them. You almost swept them. Like, that was what I was thinking about yesterday. When it looked like that game was just totally going to get away from us, right? I kept saying to myself, why can't we? Let's just go ahead and get the sweep. And we got that close. We were right there. Trevor May, it's been a roller coaster with him. He gives up the home run. He ended up losing. But, man, that was fun. That was a fun weekend, DJ, when it comes to Twins baseball.
Oh, it was fantastic. And we'll recap some of that to start next hour on Late Night. But, yeah, after a week of talk about that series, and look, you don't usually get that throughout the season. You usually get one day to reflect on the next series, but we got almost a week because of the All-Star break, and it's against Cleveland, and the lead's down to 5.5, and then for the Twins to go out there and win the first two in very good ball games. There wasn't blowouts over the weekend. It was very good ball games, and Kepler had a great moment with the home runs. And,
oh, How much of a madman was he?
Oh my word,
Trevor Bauer. He does not like Max Kepler at all.
No.
He cannot like Max Kepler at all. So we're definitely going to talk Twins baseball to kick off the start of next hour. But tonight it was about Timberwolves basketball, them playing in the NBA Summer League. It was a fun ride for about a week. They made it to the championship game tonight against Memphis. And I look forward to talking to Ryan Saunders here in a couple of minutes.
Yeah, and we're actually going to we'll take a break now. We'll talk to Michael Rand in just a couple of minutes. And
then
we'll talk to Ryan Saunders in about 20 minutes.
Oh, 20 minutes. Okay. We'll talk to Ryan Saunders in about 20 minutes. Michael Rand, we'll chat with him from the Minneapolis Star Tribune next. All right, welcome back to Late Night on News Talk 830 WCCO. We'll talk to Ryan Saunders in about 20 minutes. But another guy that He likes the round ball. He likes basketball. And I shouldn't say that he's a Timberwolves fan because I don't know that to be the case. I'm the Timberwolves fan of this show. But his name is Michael Rand. Rand Ball, as we like to call him here. Minneapolis Star Tribune. He joins us now here on Late Night. Rand Ball, I should ask you, are you a Timberwolves fan? Or, I mean, I know that you're in the media business, and I know that we don't necessarily – you know what I mean? We don't wear that hat of being a fan when we're at games, and I know that I don't when I'm at a game, but I am a Timberwolves fan at heart.
Yeah, I have an interest in the Timberwolves. Let's put it that way. I definitely watched a lot of Timberwolves, especially even before I became a media member. So you know, it's you got to wear the hat of objectivity. But
yes,
I watch a lot of their games. Let's put it that way.
I think the thing that I'll say about it is everybody knows that I am a fan, but as a media member, they know, and this is the Wolves organization knowing this about me because I used to intern down there back in 1996, 97, is that I will criticize when I don't think things are going well and they're not doing what they're supposed to do. And I'll also give them and be fair and give them their props for when they're doing things the way that I think that they should be doing them. So as much as I go to the games like you do and I won't, you know, I won't have any, you know, bias or whatever. I at the end of the day, I've still purchased tickets. I've given my money to the Minnesota Timberwolves, so I still like them.
Sure. That's fair.
Yep. All right. So what did you make of NBA Summer League 2019?
It was interesting. I was really intrigued by kind of what I saw from, you know, the results were great, obviously. You know, they win, you know, they start 6-0, they lose tonight to Memphis, but I mean, results in summer league are probably not the, you know, the thing you're most interested in. I was more interested in the process, and I was really interested in watching kind of philosophy in action, right? Like they want to do new things. They want to, you know, Ryan Saunders keeps talking about, you know, shot values, getting to the rim, shooting more three-pointers, getting rid of that mid-range stuff. And they really did that. I mean, I think Alan Horton, their radio guy, tweeted something after four games. They had 81% of their field goal attempts were either at the rim or three-pointer. That would have led the NBA last year if that was the real deal. And the Wolves were down at like 60% last year. They were shooting a lot of, you know, lower percentage, lower value shots. And those things add up over time. I mean, you might have some guys that are good at making those shots, but you want to be more efficient. You want to value the types of shots that are going to, you know, bear fruit for you in the long run. So you definitely saw that
in summer league. And, you know, and one guy that stood out is Naz Reid. That guy can play. I mean, he's only 19. He's got some things to work on, but he's a big guy that's got a nice touch from outside. He can play inside. He's got a good feel. I'm intrigued by what he can, you know, become, you know, certainly maybe as a rotation player at some point here, and you know, maybe more if he keeps evolving.
You know, one of the things, and I'm so glad you said this, it's not about the results in summer league. It isn't. Right. No one's walking around with a ring talking about, yes, I'm a champion in NBA summer league. I was out in Sin City back in 2019 with the Wolves and we ran the town. No one cares about that. Nobody gives a damn about that. But what you do care about is developing talent that you accumulate on your summer league roster. If these guys can be brought into your training camp, and if one or two guys land somewhere in your organization and you can develop them, then that is, to me, a home run. And Naz Reid is the guy that I'm looking at, because you just said it, 19 years old, he's 6'10". Mm-hmm. Look at that. Yep. He has that quote NBA body. If they get this kid into great condition in terms of physically, and you know that he's going to fill out and become a grown man, because he's not a grown man yet. He just looks like a grown man because he's a big kid and he's 19, but he's a big kid right now. But that is a project that you can absolutely work with. And I talked to Pablo, who was coaching the team over the last weekend, about him, and he likes him as, quote, a project. And to me, that's a great project to have in your organization.
Yeah, I'm a little bummed we don't get a summer league parade, a championship parade. But yeah, I mean, overall, it's all about development. And, you know, probably the more impressive thing is right. You didn't see Jarrett Culver at all during this. You know, they held him out, you know, because they're being cautious, because he didn't get in and work with them, you know, because of the timing of when that whole thing was able to be announced. So he didn't play. Jalen Noel, their second round pick, he didn't play. He had, you know, kind of, I think it was a minor calf injury. And you got Okoji didn't play the last two games. I mean, so it's all relative, but we're talking about, you know, a team that was, you know, missing a lot of who probably would have been more established guys in this thing. And you're still turning out some interesting guys. So I think they did a good job scouting who they wanted to be on this roster. And I think Jordan Murphy did some good things too. So it's interesting to, you know, give these guys a look, see if someone, you know, one, two, three players, you know, get them into the G League, you know, get them onto a two-way contract, see what they can do over time.
Yeah, and I'm with you. I guess the ultimate disappointment of NBA Summer League, it was a nice run for the Wolves. They only lost one game. It was in a championship. Mm-hmm. But Jarrett Culver not playing, that was disappointing. I went out to Vegas, and I was, you know, over the course of 4 days, I wanted to see him play at least once. Right. I get it. He wasn't the only one that didn't play. Actually, because I was staying at the Palazzo, right? In multiple days, I went down and worked out. And who was down there working out when I was in the gym? Cam Reddish. A top 10 pick, and Cam Reddish was out there, and he didn't play either. So I guess my point is that I saw something on ESPN earlier today, and there was a discussion taking place on The Jump with Rachel Nichols, and they were talking about, Brian Windhorst said that this is going to become a trend, because he had talked to some other agents. I hope that this is not a trend, because why in the world would you not do right by your fans and have first-round picks, lottery picks, not playing in the NBA Summer League? And when I can't remember who it was that was talking, but somebody went down the list of guys that have played in the NBA Summer League, and you just rattle them off. The LeBron Jameses, the Kevin Durants, the Greek Freaks. Yeah. I mean, all these guys, I mean, all of them, they're MVPs. James Harden, they're MVPs, and they played in NBA Summer League. So to think that you're not going to have top-tier guys play in NBA Summer League because you need to save them for the regular season. Nah, let's get them some seasoning in the summer.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's a little strange. I mean, maybe it's a sign of the times with how much is at stake with these guys, and how high stakes these are, and what we know about injuries, what we know about, you know, overuse on these guys. But yeah, it does feel a little bit overly protective, and you know, and I get it. You know, these guys can play already, right? You know, you drafted a guy in the lottery. You know, he can probably, you know, hold his own in more than just summer league. But yeah, it would be nice to see these guys play, especially a guy like Culver, who, you know, you're just curious, right? You want to see him. You want to know what they can do.
Yep, no question. And it's not like Minnesota fans didn't see him in the Final Four. He was just here.
Right.
Yep.
Right.
We're talking to Michael Rand from the Star Tribune here on a late night on News Talk 830 WCCO. Let's transition to the Minnesota Twins.
Yeah.
Okay, because I know leading up to the All-Star break, there are a lot of fans that were getting a little bit nervous about the Twins.
Right.
And, oh, the lead is starting to – it's decreasing, and it's only right. down to 5.5 games. And then all of a sudden you have a weekend like you just had. And I said it going into the weekend before they even played a game. I said, this is what I want. I want Cleveland coming out of the break because this is the team that's red hot. Mm-hmm. They won 6 consecutive games, and yep. Twins fans are a little bit nervous right now. You know what you do? Mm-hmm. You go out there and you win a series in Cleveland, and that's just sure. what they did. Almost got a sweep, but they ended up yep. taking 2 out of 3. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I think that was it was pretty much perfect, right? I mean, it's kind of nice in a way that Cleveland is putting up at least a bit of a fight here. This isn't, you know, a walkover, but I think what this weekend reaffirms is that the Twins are just the better team. I think that's, we've had to recalculate kind of how we feel about that just because that wasn't the expectation coming into the year. It was, you know, the thought was, boy, the Twins are going to have to chase Cleveland. Maybe they're going to, you know, in the best case scenario, maybe they can catch him or at least compete for a wild card. But I think that's changed. It just flat out has. And so, you know, for them to kind of assert that with a nice series win, a nice, you know, calm, you know, didn't seem like they were surprised by it at all. And, you know, their schedule, too, after that series basically is, I believe, the easiest in the American League down the stretch here. They've got some really favorable games. You know, got some home games, got some, you know, sub 500 opponents. So it's set up pretty nicely for them to take this to the finish line and really get this thing geared up for October.
Michael, what does Max Kepler have against Trevor Bauer?
Great, man. 5 home runs in a row. I love Bauer. Did you see Bauer's tweet?
I did.
That was great. He's like, you know, boy, all that matters is what happens in the end.
Yes.
He, you know, he struck him out finally. But I don't know. I mean, Bauer's, you know, one of the, you know, the top, you know, top flight pitcher. And, you know, sometimes you get locked in against the guy or, you know, you get the pitcher second guessing himself. So then maybe he gets more predictable. He thinks, boy, I threw him a fastball last time. I'm going to throw him a you know, the knuckle curve this time. And Max is thinking along with him. So, you know, you can just get dialed in. But that was amazing. I've never seen a guy hit 5 straight home runs against a guy, especially a great pitcher like that.
That's amazing, dude. I mean, that's
awesome.
I mean, who does that? Max Kepler does that.
Yeah. And Max has had a breakout year, man. He's been excellent. He was one of those guys you heard of in the offseason that people were, you know, saying, boy, here's a guy that I wouldn't mind trading. He just hasn't ever really fulfilled that potential. And, you know, they stuck with it. And, you know, a lot of these guys are kind of in that boat. They kind of hit that, you know, 1,000, 1,500 at-bat plateau, and suddenly things are starting to click.
The final thing that I'll say to you, Mike, is mm-hmm. as much as I look at this next series against the Orioles, just a couple of games against the Mets, mm-hmm. is that – I'm not concerned because they don't have their aces, their top couple of pitchers going against us. We're not going to see DeGrom and we're not going to see Syndergaard and they're not right. going to see our top guys. So I think right. the pitching is pretty much a wash. But I am going to look forward to seeing Pete Alonso here. And he's a guy, let's just say that I'm slightly a fan because when I was out in Vegas for Summer
yeah.
League, the night of the home run derby, let's just say that your boy went into the win and I dropped a few buckles on one Pete Alonso.
Just tell me you didn't bet any in Summer League. That the Summer League.
I did not bet on Summer League. I did not bet on Summer League.
People betting on Summer League have a problem. But yeah, Peter Alonso, man, he's something else, man. And the home run derby was awesome. I mean, luckily for you, it sounds like the guys ran out of steam. Guerrero ran out of steam a little bit.
Exactly.
He was cranking him big time. But yeah, I mean, the way balls have been flying around, it's what's going to be like. You know, 80% humidity tomorrow. It's going to be like 90 degrees, and these guys are cranking balls anyway. So there could be a lot of balls flying around Target Field tomorrow night.
Hey, Michael Rand, I appreciate the time tonight, my man.
Yeah, bet. Take care.
All right, take care. That's Michael Rand, Minneapolis Star Tribune. Check him out on Twitter at Ramball. Thanks to him for joining us to talk Twins and Timberwolves here on Lake Night on News Talk A30 WCCO. All right, coming up after the break, hopefully we'll be joined by Ryan Saunders, your head coach of the Minnesota Timberwolves here on Lake Night. All right, welcome back to Lake Night here on News Talk A30 WCCO. Earlier this evening, between 8 o'clock and 10 o'clock, you heard the final of the NBA Summer League right here on News Talk A30 WCCO involving our Minnesota Timberwolves. We came up a little bit short, but nonetheless, it was a fun ride for the last week or so. And joining us now, head coach of the Minnesota Timberwolves, that will be one Ryan Saunders. First off, thanks for joining me tonight after the Summer League final, Ryan.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
I was out there this past week, man, and being a basketball junkie, I'm tweeting about Summer League, and I got listeners interacting with me about what you guys are doing For the fans out there listening that may not really know, why is summer league basketball so important?
Yeah, I mean, summer league, it's all depending on how you approach it, as a team, as an organization, and also individuals and coaches. With that, we approach this summer league as a big part of our future, in terms of, we want to make sure that we set a foundation, what we believe is the best the culture for this group to grow and have a sustainable, successful model. And then also, offensively, defensively, we want to implement things within our system that, we plan on using during the regular season. And then also find out about our players, put them in situations maybe that, they wouldn't, our roster players that they wouldn't normally be in. In a competitive setting, that can be a big advantage.
I got a chance to talk to Pablo out there and a guy that I hadn't seen in quite some time, and Kevin Burleson and different members of that coaching staff. How much of the summer league run by the team was good bonding for you and your new coaching staff?
Oh, it was great. I mean, I can't say enough good things about this coaching staff. Just the dynamic, individuals that we have, past experiences, and then also, just people's personalities. We've had healthy debate, which is great for, growth, both within a coaching staff as well as, obviously within a team. And so we've been meeting a lot. We spent a lot of time, trying to figure out what the best ways, to approach this team is, but also the best ways to, to defend, implement our system, offensive concepts, things like that. And, we feel good about how we're building.
Having talented basketball players is one thing, but developing guys is another one, and you know that. Talk about the importance of developing players, because you need more than lottery and first-round pick guys to help out your organization and developing into a winning situation.
Absolutely, and I think that's one of the reasons that if you look at our coaching staff, we've had a number of great coaches come through here, and I give those guys a lot of credit. Especially guys last year, we dealt with a tough situation, but this group that we have coming in this next year, that was something that was something that Gerson and I really believed in, is that everybody had to have a development component to them and a development background. I mean, you can go all the way from our bench assistants all the way to our video room. Actually, our video coordinator was the director of player development at Texas Tech this past season. And so, we have guys that can get on the court. We have guys that, can really, try to make an impact with these players.
We're talking to head coach Ryan Saunders here on Lake Night on News Talk 30 WCCO. And one of the names that I really looked at over the course of this last week, and I enjoyed how he played, and I even asked Pablo about him, was Naz Reid, man. A nice tournament showing by him, a young kid, extremely big, 6'10", with the, quote, NBA body. Talk about what you saw out of his game this week.
Yeah, and I expressed my frustration. I spent much of the afternoon, expressing my frustration about how he was not on one of the all-tournament teams down here, because I believe he played there. I feel he was one of the top players down here. And, we're really excited about him, and that's a big credit to, Gerson and our staff for, being able to identify the talent in Naz, understanding that, he'll be a work in progress, as we all are, but he has things that he has to shore up. And, I think he's ready for the challenge.
Yeah, he's definitely a guy. I thought that the word that Pablo used with me when I talked to him when we were in Cox Pavilion was, he said, a project. And I think that that's the perfect description of what Naz is, because he is a guy that I'm not looking at how he is right now. I'm thinking and trying to project him out 3 to 4 to 5 years from now.
Yeah, absolutely. And the fact that he just turned 19 is pretty remarkable. Just the way his feel for the game, the way he moves his feet. He's got talent there. We just need to make sure that we hone it in, and we're able to focus that talent, to being a productive, consistent, basketball player.
Wolves fans, they didn't get a chance to see Jared Culver, the sixth overall pick in this year's draft for the Wolves in summer league. What do you like about Jared as a basketball player, and what do you want the fans to know about him?
Well, I'll start with your second question. I want the fans to know that, Jared epitomizes, who we want to be as a team in terms of his character, high character individual, somebody who gives himself up to the team, but somebody who's also versatile. He's able to put the ball on the floor. He's able to get in the seams. He's able to make plays. You know, the fact that he played title between some point guard at Texas Tech, gives us confidence in him even more so. We know he needs to improve his jump shot, and he's been working at it. And, he was getting work out here in Vegas, and actually, him, Kat, and Wig, we're all, doing group workouts together out here. We were able to implement some of our actions for next season with, three players. It was successful. But then also his defensive versatility. We like his ability to guard multiple positions, and we think he'll help add to our identity.
Final couple of questions for you, Ryan, and we'll let you go. Are you ready for the coaches challenge? I saw that tonight, and I'm wondering. I'm like, oh, I wonder if Ryan is going to be ready for the coaches challenge when it comes down to it.
Yeah. I wish I was able to keep a flag in my sock or something. I have some fun with that. I definitely have fun with that. But and I'm glad you bring that up, because tonight was a good example also of what we can use Summer League for, and that's always evaluating. And so we will take a look at, we'll do a study. I mean, I already have our video guys working on a study and analytics on when we should use the coaching challenge, if we should save it, what plays are better to challenge and when.
I'm with you. All right, final thing. When it comes to Vegas, I got to admit this about myself. I had never been to an In-N-Out Burger. If you've been to an In-N-Out Burger, give me your thoughts.
You know what? I have been to an In-N-Out Burger. It was years ago. I'm not going to try to make you feel guilty, but I did not go out here. As the season approaches, I gotta, my suits sometimes run a little tight. So I got to make sure that I can squeeze in.
Your suits run a little bit. I'm not trying to hear that. You skinny guy. I'm busting my tail cardio every day to lose.
Hold on. I'm saying that my suits, I wear them very slim cut. So I got to make sure that I can keep them slim cut.
But I'm with you, but you're the slim guy and I'm the fat guy. I'm the old fat guy.
I'm not trying to make you feel bad.
Hey, Ryan, man. Hey, I appreciate it, man. Continued success, and we'll see you back here in the Twin Cities, my man.
Hey, Henry, are you ever going to talk about how you were one of my coaches back in in Timberwolves camp back in the day?
I haven't talked about that on the show, but I will after the commercial break.
Yeah, no, that should help me show the adversity that I've been through.
All right, my man. Hey, take care. We'll talk to you back here.
All right.
That's Coach Ryan Saunders here on Lake Night on News Talk 830 WCCO. I'll tell that story next.